And so we welcome Giddy Upta into the studio. How's it, Giddy? Welcome to the show.
Hello.
All right, so we now have official proof of your lineage, do we?
Yeah, that's true. You're very right. I can confirm all of the previous mentioned.
Thank you. I'm glad I got your seal of approval.
Yes, indeed.
You're the closest indeed. We could get to an Israeli comedian.
I think I'm the only one in this country.
Are there other Israeli comedians? Are there any other Jewish comedians? I mean, there are.
We've got Nick Rabinovitz, who you'll know. We've got Glenn Biederman Pam. We've got Claudine Ullman.
We had Dale Emler for a while.
We did. I'm trying to remember.
Who are the
old
Oaks? There are definitely some Alta Yenters that are around.
South Africans. Yeah, we've got Mal Miller.
Mal Miller, yeah. He's
Deep Fried Man.
We got him. I hope I'm not leaving out any Jews.
If you know a Jewish comedian,
then we haven't. Offended as Jews or comedians if I leave them out.
Probably both. In fact, if we've missed out any Jewish comedians, please let us know. South Africans only, 34519. Gilly.
Yeah.
The number of Jewish South African comedians is one thing, but Jewish women comedians.
Yes.
That's a much narrower
band.
There's
about three of us. It's me, Claudine, and Kate Pinchuk, a young comic in Cape Town who's coming up through the ranks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, it's pretty interesting. It's an interesting game. Very singular.
So you're a comedian. What decided you to get into that? You've always been involved with the entertainment business, right?
I'm a comedy writer and a filmmaker, essentially. But I've been writing comedy mainly since I left film school, which was a long time ago. But that's the only entertainment I've ever been interested in, is just writing comedy. So I've written for Nick on his one-man shows. Eventually I started writing sitcoms.
All right, so give us a few of the secrets here, because, you know, I go to one of these comedy festivals, the comic goes, and you always kind of feel like they know their stuff so well that they must have written it themselves, right?
It is for the most part.
Right. So where does your role then come in as a comedy writer? So how do you help out people? What's that vibe?
So, I mean, when you're writing a 7-minute piece, it's not so hard to write everything yourself. If you're writing an hour long show for yourself, you need support, you need help, and you need to put it together. You need a sounding board. So with most comedians, we actually do that unconsciously. You know, we sit, we finish each other's jokes, we help each other. Oh, somebody comes off stage, you'll be like, oh, you know, it would be a great line for that. You should add this.
Okay.
But when you're writing an hour of material, you need a lot of that. So you can actually, you know, pay somebody to actually help you write, which is what many comedians do.
So that's great. If you're not funny, make sure that you get all of us on 34519. We'll get you Gilly, and then you'll be funny either for a show or for your
bar mitzvah speech.
Yeah, your bar mitzvah. Professional bar mitzvah wedding speeches. Please, help us. Please,
I will help you
community.
Kill your bar mitzvah speech.
No,
dead.
Your wedding speech.
Fine.
There's 45-minute thank you this
I have
one.
Written,
thank you that cousin. I
have written a speech for a best man, for the groom, who I didn't know. Okay? I can help you
kill
this thing.
And it was probably the funniest speech that anyone has ever heard
at
a wedding.
I'm sure, but I wasn't there. But I like to imagine that it was better with my health.
That was pretty good. Someone SMSing in saying Mark Banks is a Jewish comic. Is Mark Jewish? He thinks he is.
Is he? I don't know. He is very funny.
He is very funny. And he does have the sort of Yenta accent down a little bit, you know?
He is hilariously funny. And he's brilliant. He's got a brilliant mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do you think it is that makes a comedian, right? What do you have to do? And
I'll
can it be learnt? Or is it just a natural thing?
It's one of those things.
Can Tabo be a comedian? I mean, he's already a comedian, but a professional one.
Well, is Tabo funny? Tabo, are you funny?
I just love jokes, so I don't know if
that's
I'm
a good
funny.
Start. That's a good start. Comedians love jokes. So this is what you have to do, basically. A, you have to be funny, okay, and not just because your mom said so.
Right.
And the other thing you have to do is, and this is the secret. You want to talk about secrets? You have to be able to withstand insane amounts of humiliation.
Right.
If you can do that, and you're funny, golden.
Because it must be really tough, right? You work on a joke, someone else has written it for you, you've practiced it, whatever it is. You get out onto the stage, there's 1,000 people, you test it out, crickets.
Exactly.
That must be the worst feeling in the world.
You have to be able to really withstand severe humiliation. Time after. Because you can't be good in the beginning. You just can't be. It's like, how good can you be at anything the first time
you try? It's like having 1,000 people watch you learn how to ride a bike.
Exactly. And how
you
good would that be?
Fall over again and again.
So you've got to be able to get up there and be willing to come back again and again and again until you are good. And you don't know when that's going to be.
Right.
I'm still trying.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I have actually seen you on stage before and I laughed. So, don't worry. There's definitely some...
Was having a good night. One can only hope.
Yes. I think you were, actually.
Okay. That doesn't sound promising.
No, it was convincing. Look, it was a Jewish crowd, so, you know.
I have to tell you, I don't do well in front of Jewish crowds, but I'm determined to win them over. Because you know what?
It's more food jokes. Let me tell you something
about Necrobenovitz, okay? Yeah. He's got three children. He's very busy, okay? He can't entertain all of us.
Yes.
You guys are going to have to get used to me.
It's true. We need the, you know, it's a sort of Jew EE where you've got to, like, replace the old Jews with new ones. That's the issue.
No, listen, it's a tough game, but I'm in it. I'm in it for the long run.
Talk to me also a little bit about South Africa at the moment, right? I know overseas, Jerry Seinfeld, another Jewish comedian, doesn't play on university campuses anymore because he says they're too, like, PC. And people, you know, you do say something funny on Twitter, you end up in front of the Human Rights Commission. I don't know. Something like that. Do you think South Africans, are we losing our sense of humor?
I don't know. I mean, South Africans, we're very conservative.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're at risk really of
losing our sense of humor. Because we didn't have one to begin with, offending each other
so much in the sense that, like, a comedian, because comedians think a lot about what they say, you know, but it depends where you are. Like, in the comedy scene, in the small club comedy scene where people are starting out and where sort of bigger comics come to try out their material, it's set up as a sort of an open forum, you know, and we have to be able to say things and be open about things. Otherwise, we can't explore anything really. We can't get anywhere.
But I feel like people like Joey Rustin or Trevor Noah, they kind of dined out in the beginning of their careers on race jokes.
Yes.
Right? And it was funny. Like, it's not that I have a problem with that. But I just wonder if race jokes go down so well these days as they did, you know, in the first 20 years.
Well, that depends what you mean by race jokes. I mean, I can tell you that a lot of the comics,
jokes, you know.
Yes, a lot of the comics in the clubs today, that is the majority of the subject matter that they're dealing with.
Okay.
Because if that's what you're dealing with in your life, that's what you talk about in your comedy. So it's very common. There's a lot of, like, race stuff that's dealt with in comedy.
Okay, so it is still a big part of the scene.
Huge part of it. And it's, like, part of comedy and the comedy scene is, like, for me, it's one of the spaces where I've been in where I have seen people really be challenged by ideas, where I haven't seen that in any other space.
And what about things like politics? I mean, I've been in small comedy clubs in the middle of, like, a war going on in the Middle East, right? Gaza and Israel. And happens to be a Muslim comedian stands up and you can see that this person has decided that they are not going to be funny tonight. They're just going to take out whatever anger they have about the Middle East on the audience who happen to be Jewish. And it wasn't funny and no one was laughing, but it was hectic. Is politics and that sort of angry politics also kind of a part of the scene?
I think so, yeah, absolutely. So sometimes you do see that people are angry or that people are also... People are trying to talk about ideas, and that's not easy, right? Mm-hmm. So you might go up there, you might think that you've got a funny joke about something, and then you will quickly discover that you are not funny to the person standing in front of you because you decided this thing in your head on your own, and then you presented it to people, and they will be the ones who judge if it's funny or not. Also, you don't know in the beginning. You could do something once, and it might only be funny the fifth time you try it. Right. So it's a gamble. It's a bit of a gamble, but that's what you need the experience for. And yeah, it does happen that people come out there and say things that don't go down well. And you live with that and you move on.
Okay. Well, so that's good to know.
Now, but Benji, talking about race and politics, I think if you go into a show, into a comedy show, you know that it's all about a joke.
Telling a joke.
Yes.
So sometimes if you take it personal and then you're there for the wrong reason. I enjoy all the race jokes, especially if a white guy says, I was in a text and this happened. Right. I'm like, yeah, you were there.
Well, I mean, certainly if it's done properly. I think that's the key thing.
Everything is like that, right? If it's done properly. However, when you're in a space where people are trying things and are not in a big forum, but if I'll give you a very good example is you mentioned Joey Rasdin. So Joey did a show in front of a Muslim audience. Mm-hmm. I think the audience was conservative from what I understand. He got into a lot of trouble for saying something. Now, if you know Joey, you'll know he's a devout Muslim. So he would never intentionally do something to alienate his audience and his fans and his followers. But in that situation, it didn't go down the way he thought it would go down.
Right.
And people were very offended. And so who's to say who is sensitive and who isn't? Obviously, I defend the comic always.
Right.
Because, you know, that's, you know, that...
The tribe.
Yes. But also, I believe in people's rights to just get an idea out. He didn't go there with the intention of offending anybody. So, yeah, it happens.
Now, I'll probably... Probably. I think he is our most famous now comedic export, besides Leon Schuster, is Trevor Noah.
Sure.
He's super successful. He came back, opened a foundation, did a show.
Yes.
You were involved with that as well.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, so this is a show that Trevor's got a tour called Nation Wild. And that he's done over the last, like, it's quite a lot of years that he's taken this tour where he's done a show with other comics. And I think it's mostly been younger comics or newer comics, let me say, on the scene. And he'll do a tour with them. The first one, I think, was televised. I don't think the second one was televised. This is, if I'm not mistaken, the third one. And basically what he's done is he came to South Africa last week. We did a show. And the show is Trevor in conjunction with Mnet. And it's 13 episodes of a TV show, and every episode focuses on a different up-and-coming new comic. Mm-hmm. So it's meant to be 13 of South Africa's, like, best new comedians on the scene. And it's Trevor introducing us to the world, basically, or to the country. So we shot that. In each episode, there will be a 15-minute comedy special, basically, along with, like, some interviews and, you know, stuff about who we are. But we shot it over two nights at the Lyric Theatre. And, we recorded that last week.
Is it a conversation, or does he, like, go, this is X person, no, they
this
did this,
is,
they did that,
ladies, gentlemen,
and on
please
they go.
Welcome Gilly Apter. I come out, I do my 15-minute set. They mm-hmm. recorded it. That's going to be on Mnet.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Gilly Apter.
The next These, one.
Yeah, roll. Next week on blah, 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 you will get blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So yeah. And when is that coming out?
That is coming out, we don't know yet, later in the year on okay. Mnet. There will be some press about it at the time.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's very, very cool.
It was very exciting, yeah.
Yeah, it must have been cool.
Yeah.
I want to ask more about Trevor
Noah
and where he's at. I'm Benji Shulman, in for Howard Feldman on Your Afternoon, and it's just pushing nearly 5 to 5. So be on the lookout for Sasha Starr and her news and her star report coming up after that. But for the moment, we're in studio with Gilly Apter. She is a comedian, and she's making us laugh on the show because it's a Yom HaAtzmaut show. We thought we'd just keep things light and exciting.
Oh, yeah. The problem is, you know, I have to mention that I've lost the upper register of my voice mm-hmm. in the last week, so I can't sound enthusiastic about anything.
Oh, that's okay. I sound enthusiastic for all sorts of stuff.
Okay,
you know,
good.
That's what they pay me for, to sound enthusiastic. Why did you lose the upper register of your
it's very
voice?
Hard to say. I think it's from a lot of performing.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just go with that.
Okay, so if I don't sound enthusiastic, as long as I'm not happy to be here.
Okay, well, that's, as long as you tell us you're happy, that's
good.
Important. I mean, talking about Yom HaAtzmaut, have you ever engaged with the Israeli comedy scene? Are Israeli comedians funny?
Yes, they're very funny. They are very funny. And also, like, I've engaged with them on this thing where they, because I've gone there twice now since I've been a comedian, mm-hmm. or performed there twice since I've been a comedian. And I perform at the English shows, even though, like, I speak Hebrew, but that's a little
to make
harder
a
for me.
A joke
so,
in Hebrew is quite hard.
Yeah, so I perform at the English shows, and one of the things that's actually the funniest is because they're all doing comedy in English. You know, mm-hmm. that's why they set up these comedy rooms in Tel Aviv, so that they can practice their English comedy. And they are just so funny because they do comedy, like, in their accents, you know.
Oh, so it's proper Israeli-accented English.
Yes, yeah, so. They're very funny. They're funny guys.
I saw this one Israeli comedian once who basically does a Parsha of the Week comedy analysis. So he comes on a Friday night, he reads the Parsha of the Week, and then he literally does, like, comedic discussions of the Bible, which I thought was somewhere between blasphemy and genius, but it is very funny what he does. Okay, and
yeah, there's great comedians. There's a guy called Shachar Hasson.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever go to Israel, you should check him out. And they have got English speaking comedy nights on a Monday night, on a Sunday night, a Monday night, and a Wednesday night, and they're very funny.
Okay, so that's good to know. If you ever go to Israel, you need to laugh a bit. And
I would
not,
like
not
to actually try and bring those
rises.
Guys here. I think they would do very well, and they'd be very funny.
I mean, how does it work to bring out sort of international, like, do people join circuits? Do we have a scene here? How does it work?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how in the sense of bringing somebody out, but I can tell you that whenever you travel as a comedian, people will accommodate you in the world. At least that's been my experience. And I know that that's how we treat the comedians who come here.
Mm-hmm.
We all, you know, somebody will connect them. So now I know, like, two comedians in Israel, in Tel Aviv. They want to come to South Africa, I'll set them up. Like, I'll connect them to all the people they need to be connected to. They will get all the you know, spots at all the clubs, like at the Goliath Comedy Club or at, you know, all the different clubs during the week, they'll perform.
Well, that's a good actually point. You know, back in the day, you used to have to go to that place in Melville. What was it called? We had to throw ice at the comedians.
You're talking about
the Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings. It was the Underground. That was John Flissmas's show.
So is that...
That's where a lot of the local comedians came up.
Yeah, because you could see a lot of stuff there. I mean, where is the laboratory for comedy in Johannesburg and South Africa?
It's kind of split up over a lot of places. Mm-hmm. But the best places to see comedy, in my opinion, are places like on a Sunday night in Maboneng at the Pop Art Theatre. There's a comedy night every Sunday night run by the Goliath
Brothers
people. Yeah, okay. And they, funnily enough, none of them are brothers.
but they do call themselves the brothers.
Yeah, you know what's funny about them? They're a brother and a sister. She's the sort of producer behind everything. But there's a brother, a cousin, and a friend. And the friend happens to have the same surname as them.
That is hilarious. Now, you're actually telling us just before that you were chilling out with Trevor. He actually went to school down the road here, so that's
relevant.
Big for the area.
Good.
But it's all upcoming comics. So who do we need to know about?
I'll tell you.
So that we can sound cool at the Shabbos table.
Right. I mean, these are the guys you want to watch out for. Right. So there was 13 comedians: Eric Janssen, Gavin Kelly, Lindy Johnson. Nokomuswete, just lots. They were all so good. Tsitsi Chumya, Prince, Mbu. There's a guy called Mbu. He's very funny. He actually went on first, and he calls himself Mbu Many Laughs. And that's quite a selling point. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If you're going to go out and be Mbu Many Laughs, you better have many laughs.
Yeah, you better.
Sometimes
you
if he doesn't do well, we call him Mbu Not So Many Laughs.
That sounds like it's like ID document Mishlungu, you know, one of those on your matric exemption. You
that's
know?
It. So it was a great lineup of lots of good up and coming comics. But you can catch all these guys like on a Sunday night in Maboneng, on a Monday night at Poppies in Melville, on a Tuesday night at Kitchener's in Bramfontein, on a Wednesday night at Shakers in Maboneng, and at the Goliath Comedy Club and at Parker's. You can just catch so much good comedy.
Okay, so there we go. If that is what you want to do. I mean, I love comedy. It's very fun. Never sit in the front row. It doesn't work.
It's not a good idea.
Do not
That's
do that.
For comedy rookies, Benji.
Yeah, no, I've made that mistake twice now.
Right.
And then they always ask me, well, what do you do for a job?
And then what do you tell them?
That I'm a geographer. And then they like...
Are you, though?
I mean, literally, I have a master's in geography.
I remember you.
Yeah, you see,
were at that show, and Mojack Loco asked you what you did, and you said geography. That was great.
And he didn't know what to do.
You were the only guy there that night who wasn't a lawyer.
Exactly. And he was like, he was on the one hand really happy that he had got another non-lawyer. On the other hand, it was like, this, what am I supposed to do with a geographer? You know, there's no basic jokes for geographers.
No.
It's just like, that's weird. All right, so don't sit in the front, but other than that, Do support our
shows,
local comics.
Guys, go to the shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so we are with
follow me. Follow me on Instagram and on Twitter on @Gillog, @GILLOG. I always post stuff about the shows.
About Kanye West.
Oh, yeah, we post stuff about Kanye
West.
And Kim.
This is important stuff.
Yeah, it's very
you don't even
important.
Have to follow the Star Report, which is coming up in a few minutes.
That's a very nice segue,
seconds.
By the way.
That's what I'm paid for. We have Gilly Apta, as you can hear, interrupting appropriately in the show to make sure everyone is PC and on point. And we're asking for you to send in your SMSs of what you love about Israel on Yom Ha'atzmaut. Daniela sending in something saying, Chag Sameach, I love doing my grocery shopping just before midnight in Jerusalem, and it's normal. So that is true.
I can tell you what, I love about Israel.
Mm-hmm,
I was on my way to find a comedy show on like the Tayelet, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked the guy, I was like, how do I get to this comedy, this bar called Jessica? And he says to me, he goes, you're not there, over there. You remember that place, that bar. Many, many people, there was a big explosion. Many, many, many people died there.
Well, there you go. Certainly not boring. Somebody else putting in SMS saying, hi to Israel and hi to Chai. Well, thank you very much. And now it's time for Chai to the Star Report. Sasha Star.
The Star Report with Sasha Star.
Okay, well, in case you haven't reminded us about 70 times, today is Yom Ha'atzmaut, Israel's Independence Day. And Mayim Bialik, who's probably one of Jubal's most famous exports.
Yes, for sure.
On The Big Bang Theory, she plays Professor Amy Farrah Fowler. She has posted a It's an article, I think, on her Facebook page. The title is How to Tie Shoelaces into a Star of David. And she has said, today's Israeli Independence Day. I think I'm going to try tying my laces like this in celebration.
Genius.
So good luck to her. It looks quite complicated. At least she won't trip, let's hope. And now the pair of you, we're discussing off-air Kanye West.
Yeah. He's been tweeting like crazy.
Yes.
I would like to point out that
by
the pair of us, you mean her and Tubble, because I had no part in the conversation.
No, you were in there, buddy.
I feel like Kanye is either having a breakthrough or a breakdown, and we're going to find out shortly.
Well, I'll tell you what he is doing. He's breaking the simulation.
What does that even mean? Please help me out here. Okay. I can't.
Brilliant.
A few days ago, Kanye conducted this very peculiar interview for The Hollywood Reporter with an architect called Axel Voort. He's Dutch. He's not related to anyone from South Africa. And he said, I'm writing a philosophy book right now called Break the Simulation.
Yes.
And I've got this philosophy, or let's say it's just a concept, because sometimes philosophy sounds too heavy-handed. I've got a concept about photographs, and I'm on the fence about photographs, driving married to a Kardashian.
No wonder.
Yeah. He says about human beings being obsessed with photographs, because it takes you out of the now and transports you into the past or transports you into the future. It can be used to document, but a lot of times it takes over people. And he continued by, I mean, Kanye, bless him.
So deeper.
Yeah.
That's basically the biggest Kardashian shade throwing thing dressed up
but
as philosophy
I can tell you,
ever.
He's been tweeting like crazy, like things like, today will be the greatest day so far. Life keeps getting better and better. Or if you want to see the true character of a person, watch the way they treat somebody who can't do anything for them. But the greatest one.
I think
one,
that's just to do with Tristan Thompson cheating on right, his sister-in-law.
You see. But then he wrote another one. He wrote, sometimes you have to get rid of everything. And then Kim retweeted and replied to his tweet and said, wait, everything? Great moment.
Well, she could get rid of him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we know why, as Gilly said, that he's writing all this nonsense. It is because this is his book. He says...
Bow, 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 bow.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Oh, by the way, this is my book that I'm writing in real time. No publisher or publicist will tell me what to put or how many pages to write. So I guess he's not getting any royalties, but we get all the good stuff. If you want to call it that.
His last tweet, by the way, is, we're all servants. I can't wait to see how Kim reacts to that one.
Or any of the human rights groups. And that is the Star Report for today.
Well, thank you so much. I feel a little bit dirty that we did Mind Bialik and Kanye West. But I think Kanye is a big Zionist, so it's all right. I thought the intercotation.
Kanye's a legend, bro.
He regularly goes to Israel because I think they are... What are they? The name is just the religion.
Armenian.
They're Armenian. That's right. So so that's why they regularly go. So it's fine. It can go on the 70 Star Report for today. So thank you, Sasha Star. I'm Benji Shulman, in for Howard Feldman. As we head towards the end of the show, we've had a very special guest in studio today, Gilly Apta.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I need your help, actually, for something.
Anything.
You know, you
well,
get those... okay, yeah, no.
Come on.
That's after the show. No, for now.
you know,
you get those, like, old people in shul always have the sweets, right?
Yes.
Right, so I'm not one of those because I'm neither old nor having sweets. But
okay. But
I do have some of the kids that always come up and ask, like, jokes. Do I have a joke for them this Shabbos? So do you have a good Shabbos joke that I can tell a kid?
You know, it's the worst thing you could possibly do is ask a comedian for a joke.
Really, hey?
Yes.
It's like asking a cobbler for
shoes
or whatever.
I'm glad you brought this up so that I could educate you
and
many
the masses.
Others.
Don't ask comedians
for
jokes.
Don't ask a comedian to tell you a joke. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds like it's going up to a greengrocer and asking for an aubergine.
Right.
It's not a euphemism. I know it feels like that, but it isn't.
Okay, so but can I just tell the kid that? I'm like, listen, I asked the comedian, they didn't have a joke, that was it.
Just school that kid.
Okay.
School him, just be like, you don't ask comedians for jokes.
All right.
Kid.
So kid, if you're listening, I'll have to source a joke somewhere else for you. I apologize, you can hear I tried, you know, it's for the kids.
A good attempt.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
You never ask geographers questions.
That's a simple one. It's easy. You standing in today for?
Howard Feldman.
How has it felt to be Howard Feldman for a couple of hours?
Well, this is the afternoon drive without Howard. And he always brings in the whiskey show. So okay. now I know why he's always so happy, I think is interesting.
Life.
Yeah, I mean, Howard is lovely.
Are you thinking of being Howard permanently?
Wasn't that the name of a movie? Wasn't it like Being Howard Feldman?
Being John Malkovich. We can do a Jewish version.
It's actually kind of similar. Well, John Malkovich is Jewish.
Well, there you go.
So there we go. So Howard actually went to the morning show, where I think he's actually enjoying life. It's early in the morning, and there's a good vibe. So I don't know. I think we haven't – normally on Chai FM, if you haven't been hounded out with a pitchfork within the first week, then they're people like you. You know, so that's good.
That's excellent.
Yeah, we have a very democratic listenership. If they don't like you, they will tell you quickly and effectively.
Yes, I know. I've stood in front of them and tried to make jokes.
Yeah, but you made a Catholic joke, to be perfectly honest. Like, what were you expecting? There was a Catholic joke, I think you made.
No, I don't know.
Catholic jokes.
No.
But I want to know what happens when, you know, other audiences who are perhaps not Jewish hear that you're Jewish or Israeli. What happens?
It depends who they are. I once did a show in front of a full Muslim audience.
Okay.
And I was introduced as a Jewish comedian. And it was actually, it was the first time I was met with, it was bizarre because I was nervous. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I was met with like so much acceptance because in fact they understood everything I was talking about because they've got that same community structure and like
cultural
aspects. Yeah, all of that stuff was similar to them. So I actually did better with them than I did with like an Anglo-Saxon audience, for example.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the trick to being a Jewish comedian is to find yourself a Muslim audience. So with that,
nailed it.
But with that piece of advice, we sort of come to the end of the show for today. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Of course, we won't be here tomorrow because it is a Friday, so you'll have to listen to someone else. But next week,